Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Wednesday morning, April 29th, 2026. Hope everybody is doing well on this another lovely day. The sun is shining. It did end up getting a little bit gloomy as we went on yesterday. So I didn't mean to lie to anybody by saying the sun was shining. It was when we were up, and it is when we're up here today. Sorry for the late start today, Chad. I'm going to be slightly transparent. I was a little bit sleepy this morning, which, more so, I was up late last night because of last night's wind had me all, you know, going crazy. Put the highlight video out. All that, and then I was like, you know what, just to make sure the show is as good as possible, I'm going to push it back until 8:30, and then my dude, the nice guy, Omar, who was dropping off my morning coffee, was a little bit late, so I had to push it back to 8:35, but here we are, another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. Of course, series finale in Texas today, 2:30 first pitch, and we'll be touching all over the debut of Elmer Rodriguez, which, side note, I know he dropped the Cruz, but per Gary Phillips of the New York Daily News, he still likes to go by ERC, so probably going to stick with that nickname. Chat, it is good to see all you guys here this morning. We got to kick things off, though, with last night's game and just dive into some of the storylines there first, because then we got a bunch more to get to. Of course, George Lombard Jr. promoted to AAA. It was a very news-packed day yesterday in the world of the Yankees, but let's get things going with yesterday's game, because now the Yankees are 10 games over 500. And I really do think, you know, last night's game honestly being a perfect example of it, of why this team is different. Now, I know I do say that every single year, and we play into the shield jokes here all the time, which to a degree is fair, but this year I got logic to back it up. It's not just based off of just, you know, Judge looking badass in a certain shot while Juan Soto hits a home run, and then I go out and tweet, oh, you can see the look in Judge's eye. He knows this is the year. There's been aspects of certain teams that are, you know, exciting to talk about, no doubt about it, especially this time of year. But a lot of that was more so based off vibes or comparison to years past. And, you know, people push back when I say this is the best team of the Judge era. They're like, oh, bro, you said that last year. Well, when I was in seventh grade, I said, you know, when I hit 5'3", this is the tallest I've ever been. Just because I'm taller now doesn't mean I was lying then. The Yankees said, this is the best team, no doubt about it, of the Judge era. And I think last night was a perfect example of that because, you know, you go up against Jacob DeGrom. They only scored one run against DeGrom. And by the way, the pitching matchup, the advertising of Schlitler versus DeGrom absolutely lived up to the billing. But, you know, they didn't score much off DeGrom. And in the game, they only scored three runs. But the defense yesterday, credit to the Rangers too. I mean, that was a game, we were saying this on the watch party, if you had a kid that was just like I'm envisioning myself, like when I'm older and I eventually have my son who will be into the sport of baseball and will be a Yankee fan. If you all of a sudden was just like, Dad, I want to watch the Yankees tonight. I want to watch a baseball game. Like, let's see what it's all about. That sort of vibe. It's like, all right, son, here we go. Click. Ba-na-na-na. Here we go. Watch a baseball game. That would be a great debut, last night's game, for somebody to get into the sport because the defense was superb on both sides. And the pitching matchup, like we mentioned, Cam. We'll talk more about Cam a little bit later. I actually have a kind of an insane question I want to get to and pose to you guys. But a very exciting game yesterday. And the defense, you know what? Let's play the soundbite because I do want to acknowledge Judge's mammoth shot. What a bomb. 424 feet it was in the Statcast. But this is one of my favorite home runs of the year so far, period. I mean, it was a bomb. And then you'll see the final out. Badass game yesterday. Let's take a listen.
Drill deep to left field. McCutcheon back. Track. Wall. See ya. Into the second deck. A long home run for Judge. And the Yankees lead 3-0. This could be two. There's one. On to first. It's a double play. And the Yankees hold on. And they win 3-2.
Alrighty, so again, 20-10 now, the record on the season, first time being 10 games over 500. So Judge 2-for-4 with that home run. That's his 12th, ties Murakami for the lead in all of baseball. And also, too, a little side note, won't talk too much about him today, but got to celebrate Austin Welch yesterday. Two hits, including his third home run of the season. And it was a significant shot. Where my mic is still on. It was well hit. I mean, I guess it only got over 10 feet into the stands, but now that's three home runs on the season. And more notably, we've talked about his OBP being in a place where, hey, I understand he's hitting under 200, which now I actually believe he's above 200. His OBP right now, as we currently speak on the season, Austin Wells, is 345, which is pretty, like, that's not even just, oh, compared to how he's hitting, that's not too bad. For a catcher, that's not too bad. Like, a 345 OBP, is pretty damn good. So all of a sudden, within the last week, and, you know, it's early enough to change your season stats-wise. We're seeing that with, you know, Jazz is trending up. A lot of guys are trending up. Austin Wells is doing that too, but he's already kind of had a nice foundation baseline for what is still considered to be a poor start, and it is a poor start, but he's heating up, and his OBP, as we currently speak, is 345. We talked about the thing yesterday, but if you can get the 20 homers still and, like, still be a bat with power and getting on base at that clip with the defense, not to be a broken record, but, like, a 4-WAR season out of Austin Wells, maybe even a 5-WAR season, depending on the ceiling we're talking about, is very much attainable. So, shout out Austin Wells. Won't talk too much more about him today. Also, shout out Cody Bellinger. We're going to get into the defense specifically in just a moment here. But that first inning was pretty awesome. Like, the two outs, you had a Judge bullet single off DeGrom, right back up the middle. And then, I believe it was with two strikes, but Cody Bellinger, a bomb. He smoked that ball. RBI double off the wall. Just missed a home run. Was on the very border bottom line of the yellow line. Just missed it, being a two-run shot. Judge ended up scoring from first. That's how the Yanks took a 1-0 lead. And the scoring was as simple as that. Bellinger RBI double in the first. Austin Wells solo shot to make it 2-0 in the seventh, and then the Judge homer in the eighth. Bednar made it a little, you know, not even just a little. That was legitimately nerve-wracking last night, and I was, as I'm sure we all were, you know, very nervous as, what was it? You had the RBI triple. Danny Jansen did his little, you know, TikTok dance at third base. That was cute. They ended up scoring that run, too. It was a 3-2 is your final. They got the win. No harm, no foul. And real quick on the topic of the bullpen, and then I want to get into the defense, and then we got so much more to get through. But listen, Bednar certainly has been a lot more shaky than I anticipated. I knew going into this year, you know, just like everybody did with the bullpen, and that still remains the case. Obviously, like a lack of depth there is certainly the one aspect of this team that is not World Series caliber. But we knew that going in. Closer, though, I was like, you know, we're good, though. Like, Bednar, I trust. And sure, maybe at times he might, you know, get into a jam, but often he can get out of it. And that remains the case this year. He does have 9 saves, and, you know, the ERA is at 3.55 through 12 and 2/3 innings pitched this year. Yesterday, I would say, is probably the worst Bednar has looked so far this season, and I didn't anticipate him being so much of an issue as he's been. Now, he's not Devin Williams. Not that people are calling him Devin Williams. And ultimately, he's getting the job done. Like, if Bednar saves every game but just happens to bring it to within one run or makes you sweat a little bit, in the end, if he gets a save, like, I don't really care. But he has been shakier than I would have anticipated. I don't look at it as, oh, Bednar's a problem, like, get Bednar out of here. I'm not saying people are even going to that distance with him, but I would entertain the idea of not looking at Bednar as not a part of this back end of the bullpen. No doubt he will be. You want to give yourself as many options as possible. Somebody mentioned something interesting on the Case Show yesterday, which was the idea of if the Phillies are going to be added. Of course, they fired Rob Thompson after we got off here yesterday. Yoan Duran, if he were to be available, something along those lines. And if it's a closer, like, you know, we're not going to be able to get Mason Miller because the Padres are in it. Although the Yankees, if that situation were to ever arise, it's not going to, because the Padres are playing really well. They would have the prospects to get it done. But, like, something along those lines. If you get, like, a Mason Miller in an alternate world, or Yoan Duran, okay, he can become your closer. And then David Bednar can still be a back-end piece of the bullpen. So I'm not married to the idea of him as closer, but I do anticipate him figuring it out to some degree, because Bednar is really good. Yesterday, had the I have it down as 1 earned run. I believe it was 2 earned runs, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, ends up getting the job done. Let's discuss the defense, though, because this is going to get me to my point of why last night's game was a perfect example of the difference between this year's team and years past. Here's the first inning. After an already fantastic defensive inning top half-wise with the Rangers, Bellinger and Grisham, two back-to-back fantastic plays to begin yesterday's game.
Left field. Bellinger had him played shallow, going back, still going back, and he makes the play! A terrific play by Bellinger. Into center field, coming on Grisham, and he makes the play! A defensive clinic here in the first inning.
You know, there's been times where we haven't scored a ton of runs. We didn't score a ton of runs tonight. So, you know, you got to usually play clean when that happens to rack up wins. So,
even going back to that first series in San Fran, you know, there's a lot of great plays up the middle from Jazz and Caballero, just consistent double plays. I feel like when you're a team that's consistently making the routine plays and getting the double plays when, you know, they're handed to you, you know, you're going to be in a great spot. So, you know, not giving teams extra outs or extra opportunities like that, it's just going to lead to more wins. And especially, like I said, with our pitching staff, our bullpen, you know, our offense, we have, you know, limit their ability to score, and we're going to be in a good spot.
I think that was a really good answer by Judge. The only little bit of, you know, classic captain fluff in there was the line about the bullpen. He's going to compliment everybody, but it is so true and cannot be understated that the difference between this team and years past is a game like last night. I understand, you know, yeah, that could go towards somebody's argument of the Yankees don't hit good pitching. They only scored one run off the Grom. Well, yeah, sure, we'd like to be able to hit everybody, but more often than not, if a pitcher's good, you're going to have a tougher chance of scoring. And in yesterday's game, DeGrom was great. Although, by the way, the Yankees had some hard-hit balls off DeGrom. Speaking of the defense being great, but the Rangers, I mean, Grisham smoked a couple balls. Jazz, like, destroyed a ball that got caught. The Yankees had some hard-hit balls off DeGrom yesterday, and they only struck out five times. Not to, you know, celebrate stuff like that, but whatever. I don't mind it because in years past, maybe that would be an issue because our pitching wasn't so good or our defense wasn't so good. But in the case of yesterday, I look at it almost like a playoff game to where the Yankees managed against DeGrom, and while they only scored one run, they were able to get him out after six innings, and you get to the bullpen, extend the lead a little bit, and in the meantime, you're able to get by doing just that because of the fact you got a good chance of winning because you're starting pitcher. Yesterday, in the case of Cam Schlittler, he was fantastic yet again, six scoreless innings. And defensively, this is how we're going to win games. Offensively, we might be capable of, on a certain given day, scoring six runs off Jacob DeGrom. Or it might be a situation like last night where we only get one. But when we have the pitching, starting pitching that we have with the defense, there's going to be many opportunities, and more often than not, to where we will win games like that last night, where we only score a couple runs and chase a starter relatively early, and in the end only put up three, but we only gave up two. And, like, not to be obvious here, but that's the name of the game. Score more runs than your opponent. And the Yankees are in a better position to do that this year than in years past. It's not a thing or I'm being a shill or getting caught up in vibes. I am getting caught up in vibes. The vibes are great right now. Like, things are freaking awesome. Like, I'm loving this team. Chemistry is off the charts. Everything we kind of talked about yesterday, I think many of you, like, and I know most of you are, but even the people that are against running it back, which really only stems, like, you know, from wanting to see this team win. So in the end, like, we're in the same boat. And I think we're all kind of in the same boat here where you got to acknowledge there is something, I'll say, special going on here to where the chemistry's off the charts, the pitching is great, as we know, they're clicking, and it's just all the circumstances apply given the competition, the way last year ended, the discourse about running it back, the way it's working out so far. And I understand April, the June swoon is coming, blah, 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 which I don't think it will, but we'll see. This isn't just about, oh, the Yanks are off to a hot start again, or the Yanks are looking good in April. There's so much more to this, and it's heavily revolving around the pitching and the defense. It's the best offensive team we've had. In my lifetime watching, from 2011 on, it's the best offensive Yankee team I've seen, which is awesome. And that double play to get Corey Seager yesterday, I mean, that was technically routine, but, like, the up-the-middle defense, we've talked about all this stuff a lot. And then, yeah, with the pitching, as long as the bullpen gets shored up, that's that, yo. Like, this is the team. This is the team. There's much more to be improved, but that's really just in terms of quantity come the deadline regarding the bullpen. Got to get multiple arms in here, and then we know about Weathers and Warren, all the things that we've talked about. The bullpen will improve. In the meantime, I really do agree with something Randy Wilkins has been putting out there, that the Yankees should not be carrying both Blackburn and Yarbrough. They're two long relievers in the bullpen, in a bullpen that lacks depth, could really use a legitimate reliever, an extra option out in the pen. You should not be carrying two long relievers, so I 100% agree with that point. But that was an exciting game last night, really, really an exciting game, and that's going to allow the Yankees to win so many more games in the regular season, obviously, but also come the postseason in particular. Another example why this year is different than in years past. But let's move on to the exciting news for today, which is that Elmer Rodriguez will be making his MLB debut. For those who are not aware, let's get you caught up really quick on Elmer. So Carlos Narvaez, of course, which is, he's a catcher of the Red Sox. He is on the Red Sox because we had him and we sent him to Boston in exchange for Elmer Rodriguez. That was prior to the 2025 season, and he was not a ranked prospect. I believe at the time he was maybe like a fringe top 10 guy. Well, now he's the number two ranked prospect per Baseball America in the Yankees organization. Last year, 2.58 ERA in 150 innings pitched. This year in four starts at AAA, a 1.27 ERA. Some notes on him. Best pitch is his sinker. He induces a lot of ground balls. Over the last couple years, a 58% ground ball rate, which for context, what makes you a ground ball pitcher or considered a ground ball pitcher is a 50% ground ball rate. And Elmer is like just below 60. And a lot of that is because of, or in large part, obviously, due to his sinker, which is considered to be his best pitch. Now, all my experience of watching him live has been whether, well, this I didn't watch live, but this is from the WBC, and he pitched pretty damn well, racked up three strikeouts against Cuba in this game. We saw him throughout spring training a little bit, and as we mentioned, in the minor leagues, he pitched great. He had a 1.27 ERA in four starts this year, and with the Yankees sending down Luis Gil, we know that he's out of the rotation, and in the meantime, Elmer Rodriguez is taking over his spot. Now, I have to acknowledge that Carlos Rodon is set to return probably the second week of May. So in all likelihood, this will just be a quick, rotation-wise, at least two-start stint for Elmer Rodriguez. He'll start today against the Rangers, 2:35 first pitch, major league debut. I mean, this is going to be hype, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but in this show, but the title of it is accurate. It's a very exciting time to be a Yankee fan. Not only are they playing well, but you get the Elmer Rodriguez call-up today. George Lombard, we'll talk about in a moment, promoted to AAA. And we already know that the prospect system is loaded, and that is exciting for the future. It's exciting for now. It's exciting for the trade deadline. Not that these two guys in particular that we're talking about today, Elmer, we'll see, or Lombard. Lombard definitely wouldn't get dealt. But like the Yankees have a lot of prospects for the future, a lot of prospects for the now, and also a lot of prospects to make the team better right now by shipping them off to some team come July. In the upgrading the bullpen or whatever it may be. But, yeah, so Elmer's starting today. He'll probably get one more start before Rodon is back. And then come the return of Rodon, Elmer would be out of the rotation. It's not a thing where, you know, oh, what if he's pitching well and, you know, what if he's looking so great, which very well could be possible. This dude is nasty. When Rodon is back, obviously, we know he'll be taking a slot in the rotation. And that means Elmer will be not in the rotation. Now, short-term or long-term, he's absolutely a starting pitcher. He won't be starting postseason games for us, you know, unless there's like a disaster. But long term, he's a starting pitcher. Could the bullpen be in play? Whether that's as soon as Rodon is back and Elmer's out of the rotation, can he go to the bullpen right away? I'll tell you, if we're going to carry two long, man, you might as well have one of them be Elmer Rodriguez, unless he's like looking bad, which is possible. I mean, like guys can pitch well in the minor leagues, and then, you know, think of Will Warren when he first came up. Highly touted starter, not really nearly as highly touted as Elmer is. Or we can call him ERC. Reminder, we can call him ERC. He said himself, even though he dropped Cruz, he still likes that nickname. So ERC, more highly touted than Warren was, but like, you know, guys can come out of the gate not doing too well and eventually progress into being something worthwhile at the big leagues. Elmer, if I were to guess right now, he's considered to be MLB-ready starting pitcher as we speak, even going back to spring training. That's how the Yankees talked about him. That's how scouts talked about him. And in comparison to LeGrande, which, you know, we kind of knew this, but LeGrande, you know, was a story in spring because of the way he looked, and rightfully so. But everybody was still saying, scouting-wise, that like the more polished MLB-ready pitcher right now is far and away Elmer Rodriguez, which, you know, is not a real surprise if you're like very much invested in all this. But this kid's legit, and he's making his MLB debut today. Again, it's only going to be a couple starts, probably today. Well, definitely today. And one more after that, and then Rodon returns May 10th. But no matter what, this is exciting, because at the very least, you get like a glimpse into the future. We may, even if, let's just say, for argument's sake, for two starts here, Elmer looks great, and we may never see him again this year. I don't anticipate that being the case whatsoever, but even if it was just that, this is exciting. But also, if we want to talk about how this factors into this year, come like the postseason, which is really what every conversation we have like revolves around, is the postseason, like the four-man starting staff, and like how does this work out with this or with that. Ultimately, all that matters is how does this shape up for October, and is it possible we see Elmer Rodriguez out of the bullpen this postseason? Of course it is, and maybe they just transfer him there pretty much the second Rodon is back and he's out of the rotation. Hey, if he's looking good, keep him up and put him in the bullpen. So, that news broke after we were live yesterday morning, and it's very exciting. I'm pumped. We'll be live for this game. 2:35 is your first pitch. We'll be live around 2:30 for the watch party. Elmer Rodriguez making his MLB debut. And also, at least everything that we've seen, let me check Twitter real quick. I got one notification on the phone. Let me make sure this is still accurate. All right, nothing new. Will Warren, everybody was just pushed back one day. So now Will Warren will start game one against Baltimore on Friday. We'll preview that series more on. I think we'll probably not have a show tomorrow, just so I can catch up on some Z's and the whole, you know, when the Yankees have an off day, that's kind of like my off days, and I got some stuff to catch up on. But no matter what, the latest will be live again on Friday. We'll preview more of the Baltimore series, which will begin a six-game homestand for the Yankees. Very excited for that. We'll preview that more on our next show. But Will Warren is apparently all good. Everything was just pushed back one day, so it's not like an injury situation. Was it Will Warren? Right? Will Warren's supposed to start today? Yeah. But now he's going to be pitching on Friday. And Elmer Rodriguez, Yanks' number two prospect, will go today. 2:35 first pitch. We'll be live for the watch party at 2:30. Can't wait for that. John Heyman's tweet. Now I'm just on notification vibes. All NL Central teams have winning records. No AL Central teams do. Wow, that's actually pretty insane. Anyways, who cares? Let's move on to the other exciting news from yesterday. This broke while we were live on the watch party. And credit to you guys in the chat that were there. Let me know. I kind of was like whiffing on this for 10 minutes. I had no idea. All of a sudden people were like, damn, post Lombard. I'm like, what about Lombard? And then I saw, yes, officially, George Lombard Jr. promoted to AAA. And this, of course, comes after 20 games of some strong success at AA. 312 he hit with a 400 on base, 571 a slugging, 4 homers, 10 ribs. And, yeah, of course, he's the Yankees' top prospect. And as we've heard for really, you know, over a year now, the glove has been big league ready. The only question is, or not so much question, but while we're in the waiting game with him, and he is only 20 years old, so it's all good. Take your time. And he's turning 21 in June. He's very young. But the bat had to come around. Cashman said it himself, but the glove, and scouts will say this too, we know it, the glove has been big league ready. And in the case of his bat, last year really did struggle at AA. This year, though, not the case. And after just 20 games, he has been promoted to AAA. And the expectation per Jack Curry is that he will play shortstop, his natural position, of course, which he's terrific there. He'll also play some third base as well. Number 43 ranked prospect in all of baseball, drafted 26th overall by the Yanks in 2023. And listen, Jack Curry, I think, put it best yesterday. And, you know, of course, we'll always defer to him. But the second I heard of the news that Lombard was going to AAA, what my initial thought was, oh, here we go. He's on the clock. And Jack Curry, I think, put it, you know, a little better. Obviously, he's Jack Curry, but he just said it as he's now one call away. And that is 100% what the case is here, where Lombard, I don't know what the situation would be for that to arise. I mean, I can kind of come to a conclusion of either an injury at shortstop or an injury at third base, or just the Yankees, you know, say Amed Rosario at some point is not looking so good against righties and like you don't feel great about the defense. Could the Yankees possibly call up Lombard at third base this year? I would say it is possible. And there you go. You see a nice play by him on the video here at third base. He can play the position. He can obviously play shortstop as well. He's now at AAA, as Curry put it, one call away. I said this last night, and I'm going to stick by it. This is not so much logic applied, because again, the situation has to, the circumstances have to call for it. It has to be the Yankees want him up at third base. And I think no matter what, you could see it to where, you know, they want his bat, or not bat, but speed off the bench come the postseason. So that might be an easy lane for him to get up. But logistically, I think there's a chance he comes up this year. My gut feeling inside, if I were to guess, like, put my life on the line of being correct, my gut just tells me I think he's going to be up this year. It just feels like he's on the fast track, a straight shoot to the big leagues. And obviously, you know, he's going to have to hit a AAA still. And, you know, give him some time. A lot of times, you know, Judge being a good example of this, many prospects, when they first get to a level, Lombard with AA was an example of this, will struggle out of the gate, make the adjustments, and eventually find some success. So, like, you know, don't be alarmed if Lombard's hitting 150 2 weeks from now at AAA. That's fine. That's often how it goes. But, again, my gut instinct tells me, like, if I had to die on one side of this, like, with a guess, I would say it's going to be this year that we'll see George Lombard Jr. making his MLB debut. To what capacity? Obviously, I'm not sure. And again, it either takes some injuries or the Yankees wanted to make a change at third base. I don't really see that happening. But again, he could just, let me double check really quick. It's actually slipping my mind. He's on the 40 man right now, right? Or did he get put on the 40 man this past? Was he rule 5? Or did I dream that? 1 second here. Nah, yeah, he's on the 40 man. But the Yankees have, you know, a plethora of spots open anyways. If I had to guess, I think he's up this year. So, awesome news yesterday. It just continues the point that this is a very, very exciting time for us. And that has to do with the team on the field, obviously, and, like, these prospects. But also just, like, with the pitching. And, you know, like we said yesterday, like, pass this to the guys that are very highly touted, like Elmer or, like, LeGrande. Go find a pitcher in the minor leagues for the Yankees. Like, you can just pick somebody random. They'll probably have a one dot. Like, my point with this is, like, the Yankees, it feels like the Yankees really feel more than ever like they know what they're doing. And that is, like, incredibly refreshing. Incredibly refreshing. Whether it be understanding that, hey, defense is important. And, yo, they've been damn good defensively so far this year. Pitching wins you ball games. They're a factory of pitching. And we know the bullpen has to be upgraded. And if they were to not upgrade the bullpen, I'll take this statement back. But as of this day right now, between everything with how well they're playing, the prospects, the pitching, the importance placed on defense, I'm not going to ever consider them to have figured things out until they win a World Series. But on this very day right now, like, the Yankees, again, on this very day right now, if you were to go to, like, the model franchises in baseball, like, the teams that look like they just know what they're doing. The Dodgers are obviously far and away number one. But the Yankees are definitely in the conversation of top three right now, teams that are just running things properly, understanding what to do, and doing it well. Executing, one might say. And it's freaking awesome, man. Like, it really, like, when the Yankees are playing well, not just playing well, like, when there's actual substance to it, it becomes such a greater feeling because it's actually something you can kind of, like, go to bed at night knowing this is sustainable, not just for this year, but for many years to come. And George Lombard Jr. is going to be a big part of that. I think if we want to talk about the long-term future, I mean, next year, obviously, he'll be, you figure, starting at some point, assuming he does hit a AAA. And I would imagine, like, whether it's opening day or end of April, whatever it may be, like, he'll be the starting shortstop in 2027. And with that, like, maybe Volpe plays second base. I think that's probably the move with, you know, assuming Jazz departs in free agency. But we know Lombard Jr. is the future at shortstop. And I acknowledged this the other day. I don't know why I'm going to bring it up, but maybe on the watch party. That's the only reason I'm going to say it on here to make sure I acknowledge when I'm wrong, which only happens like once or twice a year, so I'm fine saying this. I had suggested, out of slight frustration and anger, when Freddy Peralta was sent to the Mets, and in that deal was Jet Williams, one of their top infield prospects, I was like, well, the Yanks could have gotten this deal done if they were down to include Lombard, and I almost wish they did. And a part of that was because of my favorability, not favorability, but like I like Dax Kilby a lot. He might be a second baseman long-term because the arm I heard isn't great. I was wrong with that thought. Like, I'm glad that didn't happen. That was me being, you know, one-tenth of the run-at-bat crowd where I was falling victim to emotion, which, you know, I guess I shouldn't get on myself too much for that, but I'm going to acknowledge where I was wrong. I came on here on a January stream and I was like, you know, I wish they would have traded Lombard. I'm glad they didn't because this is exciting stuff. George Lombard Jr. promoted to AAA. And with that, let's move on to our next topic here, which is going to be about Anthony Volpe. And we've talked about him a lot, and we've been talking about him with the assumption, as we've heard, and the expectation still is, I want to emphasize that, this is still the expectation that Volpe will be activated at some point during this homestand. And with that, he will take over as a starting shortstop. Well, not that this is a groundbreaking idea, but it's significant. Michael Kent, in his show yesterday, he suggested that the Yankees keep Volpe in the minor leagues. Now, he had his reasons. It wasn't about him not believing in Volpe. He said he does. It was more so about you're setting Volpe up to be a villain, essentially, when things are going so well. We know how great Caballero is playing. Kay also suggested if you're going to bring him up, you should probably bring him up on the road. So, like, there's not that much pressure. I think that's a great point, too. But in terms of whether he would get out of the gate hot or not, like, no matter what, like, it could be Judge coming back from the IL and you could have a bad first couple weeks. And this is freaking Anthony Volpe. Like, it's not guaranteed by any means he's going to be good or producing offensively. And it can get ugly. It can get ugly quick. And we talked the other day with the assumption he's going to be taken over at shortstop and activated in this homestand that, yo, like, for the fans, and maybe even for the Yankees, like, there's pressure on him to get out of the gate quick. And that remains the case right now because the expectation is he'll be activated. But the reason I bring this up is not because this is some, like, you know, groundbreaking idea by Kay, or, like, I'm sure some people will be like, well, Dan, I've been suggesting this to you. Like, it's not about me disagreeing. It's more so I don't like to play the role of, you know, like, oh, bro, you got a platform. You can make a difference. Like, I have no interest in that being what I do. Like, I'm a Yankee fan. I want to watch. Like, I don't want to ever turn this into something that it's not, to where, like, I'm not doing this to get to a level of power online to be able to influence, you know, decisions the Yankees make. And by the way, I don't have that power, obviously, but somebody who does is Michael Kay. To a degree. Let me clarify with this. It will be in the New York Post today, is kind of the way I was talking about it yesterday, where Michael Kay on his show says pretty much the headline will be Michael Kay, colon, the Yankees should keep Anthony Volpe in the minors. I mean, that's essentially what he was saying. The fact that he said it makes you think maybe it is possible. And with this question right here, like I have in the title, would the Yankees even consider it? And now that it's a possibility, let's talk about it. What's the answer to that question? I have no idea if they'll consider it, but I hope they do. I hope they do, because the obvious. And also, like, you'd be setting him up to fail. Unless he gets out of the gate really well, offensively, then all right, we're chilling. But whether that be he's struggling, Yankees are losing, or he's playing well, Yankees are losing, and, like, let's say Caballero makes one error in 10 games. And even if Volpe, one error in 10 games. If that 10-game stretch of that one error leads to the Yankees, and part leads to them losing a game and things starting to spiral a little bit, or so it feels like, the blame will be pinned on Anthony Volpe. Now, that's less of the actual concern, but that's more so the angle that Kay was taking it with. Take whatever angle you want. You probably shouldn't mess up a good thing right now. And the Yankees have a good thing going with Caballero and this defense up the middle. We've talked a lot about, like, the double plays that we've seen turned. I don't know if these get turned with Anthony Volpe. I hope the Yankees are at least considering this. And also, they would they get an extra year of service time in Volpe, too, if they decide to option him down to the minor leagues. Once the 20-day rehab clock is up, which we're still a little bit away from that, that decision will have to be made. If I had a guess right now, not even guess, like the assumption, like what's he's going to be called activated during the homestand, like operate your day under that assumption that Volpe, like he, the expectation he's going to be back and taking over a starting job at shortstop. But want to acknowledge on here, the fact that Michael Kay mentioned it means it will be a headline, and whether it be, you know, he has some pull or the Yankees, let's say Brian Cashman was thinking last night vaguely like, man, maybe I'll think about it. And then he wakes up already having on his conscience to see Michael Kay. You should keep Anthony Volpe down in the minor leagues. I'm not saying he's God. To me, he is, Michael Kay. But it's significant that he said this. And obviously, in my opinion, for the time being, I think that's what they should do. Keep him down in AAA. I don't think that's what they'll do. But this way, you let him, you know, keep finding his footing. He has hit pretty well in his rehab assignment. And with that, there could be a point where, you know, we don't know what Caballero is going to be forever. Like, he's been great. He's been on, as a Yankee, a 5-war pace over a full season, extrapolated. Maybe he comes down. You figure at some point, I mean, he's not going to be this red hot, but, like, say he starts struggling, or the Yankees, you know, somebody goes on the IL, and, like, you kind of have Volpe waiting in the balance. Like, I'd rather it go that way. So, ideally, you know, they do keep him in the minors. My prediction is that's not going to happen. And Michael Kay would say the same thing. I think most people want this, are suggesting this, but don't think it'll happen. But again, the fact that Kay mentioned it is significant, and we should know at some point soon, because, yeah, the homestand is what the thought is, and that's coming up on Friday. Series finale in the Texas today, off day tomorrow, Orioles on Friday in the Bronx, which I cannot wait for that series. Obviously, we'll be live, at least for Friday's game. I think we'll be live for Saturday as well. Anyways, let's wrap things up before we get out of here with this question. This is more so a setting off question, but this is the stance I'm going with here. It's not about, like, the pedigree going into this year. It's not about the respect thing. I'm talking about pure stuff. I'm talking about the right now. I'm talking about the pitcher that we know Cam is, that we're watching every 5 days. Like, what I'm trying to say is I don't want to get cute with this and be like, oh, it goes to this guy because he's done it longer. All right, well, with that logic, I mean, do you consider Jacob DeGrom a better pitcher than Cam? And if you do, I guess there's somebody worse you could come up with. But, like, obviously, you know, what we're doing right now, what we're seeing with Cam, he is better than Jacob DeGrom. But does Jacob DeGrom's pedigree and his track record mean, like, out of respect, you got to say, no, he's better than Cam? I'm looking at this from more of, like, a power rankings perspective, where, like, the current performance is very much what influences this. And what we've seen so far this year, and, like, I'm including Jose Soriano in this, like, is the best pitcher in baseball right now. And the comparisons with Cam is Skeens, it's Skubal. I mean, the stuff yesterday was, it was like Boston level. And he's always, you know, displaying some electric stuff. But we've seen some starts, like I think it was in Boston where his, either Boston, or, yeah, I think it was Boston, because he said he was too calm after. But the velo is quote unquote down, but it's like 97, 98. Yesterday was like vintage Cam, 99. He was hit 100 as well. His final line, what was it? It was six innings scoreless, 3 hits, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks. And one of those walks came in the sixth. And this is one of the things that really has me excited about Cam. Something we already knew, but it's like that killer look that he's got. It's like the Jordan level of mindset that is, as we say, few and far between these days with athletes, which is very unfortunate, but Cam's got it. And when he had that leadoff single, I believe it was Brandon Nimmo to begin the sixth, or maybe it wasn't. Whatever it was, there was a leadoff single to begin the sixth inning. Yanks are up only 1-0 at that time. He then walks on 4 pitches, the next batter, and he just looked disgusted with himself, which we were seeing all night long. He would get outs, but the pitch was not in the right location that he wanted, or was hit a little harder than he would have liked. And Cam screaming in his glove out of frustration. It was badass. But like yesterday, first and second, after a 4-pitch walk and a single prior to that, it looks like an external force takes over him. And it's just like he just went to war. And he quickly recorded a strikeout and then got two pop-outs. And got out of the inning unscathed, and he still looked disgusted with himself. Ends up going 6 scoreless, and he was screaming at himself all night in anger at his performance. He goes 6 scoreless, 8 strikeouts, ERA now down to 1.51, 4-1 record in 7 starts, 0.74 whip, 49 Ks and 41 2/3 innings pitched. I mean, the easy conversation to have here would be not even really a conversation at this point right now. It's very much possible he could win the Cy Young And like the sample size is there to where like this is who Cam is, whether you're talking about the seven starts this year or obviously you include last year, which with the postseason last year you made 16 starts. ERA was, I think like, what was ERA? It was, I think his ERA with the postseason included last year was like around like a 2.6 or a 2.7 combined. And now a 1.51 this year, we're talking over 20 starts of his ERA for his career with the postseason, like you'd say the postseason in or not, whatever, low twos. I mean, this is obviously incredible. And let's hear really quick on Boone. I thought his response here was great. Meredith asked him the question, you'll hear it, about confidence in Cam in that sixth inning after the leadoff single and the four-pitch walk. I thought Boone's response was terrific here.
Cam was in trouble with runners on first and second. You kept him in the game there. It was one of his best innings of the year. Just what gives you the confidence he's getting out of that unscathed?
I'm watching the same game you are. That gives me the confidence.
I love it. I love it. And I think that plays a role in this conversation here where it's like, I'm not trying to get cute with this. I'm not trying to say like, again, pedigree, track record, all this and that, which that's a conversation to have. If we're doing like off-season rankings, like MLB Network top 50 pitchers, whatever it is, although they just do top 100, which is absurd. That's a separate conversation. But like for those who watch me a long time, it doesn't compute in my brain, the idea of like putting position players and pitchers on the same list. Like, is Cam Schiller better than Aaron Judge? What does that even mean? Like, they're two different species of human. It should be. This goes for everybody. ESPN, every like network site does this. My advice, MLB Network, ESPN, other people making YouTube videos. If you're going to do a top 100, do this. Top 50 position players, top 50 pitchers. Do not group them together. Only way that works is if like, we're talking fantasy, then it's like value, then you can get into the war. But like pitcher war, to be honest, I'm kind of good off of. Just make them separate lists. Like, again, I don't like, who's better, Cam Schiller or Aaron Judge? Like, what does that even mean? Like, what? Like, I understand, like, better their respective crap. Like, you can't even compare the two. Anyways, going off of what Boone just said there, I'm saying, like, let's just, we're just using our eyes here and the numbers that we know and the pitcher that we've seen. Is there a better pitcher in baseball right now? The response is probably Skeens, Skubal. I'll take that. Fair enough. I think I kind of can rest my point there. We're probably in agreement anyways. He's here. This is legit. Long-term, even like that sixth inning I was saying, that plays a role for how I feel about Cam long-term 10 years from now. Let's say when his velo is down, I don't know, 94, 95, and he's 36 and he's still a Yankee. He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. And the two-time World Series champion, two-time Cy Young Award by then, but the velo comes down. That attitude, that like competitive edge that he has, that killer mindset, I know this sounds very cliche, but it's refreshing. There's not many athletes like this these days where, you know, I bring up the example of that Boston start last year. The look he had, he was clenching his jaw in anger after all the things that were being said about him and his mom entering that start, where it's hard not to make a comparison to Anakin Skywalker and how badass he looks. Now, I guess I am essentially comparing him to a serial killer, but like, don't you kind of want your pitchers, your starting pitcher to come off like a serial killer? I guess not a serial killer, but like, you know. I think you guys get my point. I rest my case. But for the context that we're talking in, yes, right now Cam Schiller is the best pitcher in baseball. And if I had a pick right now, well, he will struggle at some point. Like, he may have a couple of outings back-to-back where he gives up six runs. And that will inflate the ERA. Will his ERA be in the one dots come year's end? Well, not impossible. You wouldn't bet on it. But what I would bet on right now is, not giving actual gambling advice, but just talking about me, I think Cam will win the Cy Young. I wonder if there's a betting odds that you can do, just be like, will a Yankee win the Cy Young? Because that, I mean, Fried's very much in play as well. So, yeah, Cam has been absolutely terrific. Now a 1.51 ERA in seven starts after another scoreless six innings yesterday. Exciting time to be a Yankee fan for many reasons, all the things that we discussed today. And that will continue later today, this afternoon, 2:35, first pitch, Elmer Rodriguez on the bump for his Major League debut. We'll be live right around 2:30 for the watch party. I've been having such a blast with this lately, yo. Like, I've kind of figured out a new schedule with all this, and it's really just working, like, for me, and I enjoy doing it. Like, coming on here for the morning show, might try to really start doing these more often. Like, it starts my day off nice. I do think tomorrow will be off. I actually have a lot to do tomorrow, and again, Friday there's a big announcement coming, which we'll announce first things first here on the Morning Yankee Show, which we absolutely will have on Friday. We might be off tomorrow, because when the Yankees are off, I'm off. 13-game stretch coming up. I'll still be doing a bunch of stuff, so I don't think I'm slacking, Chad. I got to get back in the gym, to be honest, and I definitely will be going today. But anyways, maybe at some point soon, I might just announce this show's 5 days a week. For now, like, you know, we're live at some point every day for the watch parties. for this show. Point is, I like doing it, and I appreciate you guys coming along for the ride, yo. And it helps when the Yankees are playing this well. But when they're not playing well, which will inevitably come, we will be here. When the Yankees play well, I lean in even more. So, like, if you think I'm nuts with it now, like, when the Yankees go on a six-game losing streak, you'll be hearing from me a lot more because it's the principle of it. If I'm enjoying this right now, if I love the Yankees right now, I would say this, like, we're not better than them when they're good, so I'm certainly not going to act like I'm better than them when they're not good. Like, the whole thing, and I get people's sentiment with it, but when, they're like, a team's playing poorly, and I guess to a degree, I get it. Like, if you're a Mets fan right now, like, the line of, oh, don't let this team ruin your day, I guess I understand it, but I'll never say that about the Yankees, even if they were to lose 20 games in a row. And, like, I tell you, hopefully this never happens, but I almost wish I could, like, create an alternate world that I don't actually have to live, but just see how it would operate under a 100-loss season. It would still be the same every single day, every single day. Because I know the time will come where you eventually do win, and it might just be this year, Chat. I'm feeling pretty damn good about it. So, yeah, you'll be hearing from me a lot, and I hope to be hearing from you a lot. Let me know in the comments all the things we talked about, your thoughts on it, and then, yeah, that'll do it for this episode of the Morning Yankees Show. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday morning into afternoon, and then I'll see you a little bit later. 2:30, we'll be live on the watch party, first pitch at 2:35, and then, yes, in the very same first inning after the Yankees hit against Nathan Eovaldi, by the way. Nathan Eovaldi going for Texas. After that, come the bottom of the first, debut of Elmer Rodriguez, who we can still call ERC. Can't wait to see you, ERC. You said I can call you that, and I'm very grateful because it's a badass nickname. We can't do E-Rod because there's already an E-Rod, and I'm not a big fan of making everybody Rods. There's one Rod, and it's not Olivia Rodrigo. It's Alex. That's all I got, chat. Thank you so much for tuning in. Leave a like on the stream if you haven't already, and I'll see you in a few hours, 2:30, for the watch party. In the meantime, yeah, have a great rest of your day. Till then, let's go Yanks.